In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is born. Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary and the stepfather to Jesus, is celebrated in the church today, the Sunday after the Nativity. Now, Joseph, according to the tradition of the church, was a widower. His first wife was named Salomonia. Together, they had six children, two daughters and four sons, before Salomonia passed away, and Joseph raised the kids alone. In fact, one of those sons is James, known in Scripture as the brother of the Lord, author of the Epistle of James, and the first bishop of Jerusalem. When Joseph takes Mary to be his wife, and when Joseph adopts Jesus to be his son, Jesus is getting six older siblings right off the bat, Jesus himself being the seventh. In the icon we have two icons, the icon for the Nativity, and then next to it is an icon of what's called the flight into Egypt. And in that icon comes from our gospel reading today, where Joseph took Mary and the child Jesus into Egypt, fleeing from the edict of King Herod. Now you'll see in that icon, there's also a teenage boy walking with them. And that teenage boy is Jesus's older brother, James. Not blood related, but James, his older brother from Joseph's first marriage. Now we hear a lot about Joseph at Christmas, though not as much as throughout the rest of the year, maybe unfortunately. But I'd like us to take a few moments while the season is upon us to give Joseph the honor that is due to him. And hopefully we might be also inspired by him ourselves. And the first aspect of Joseph I'd like us to consider is that Joseph was a man of discretion. He was a man of discretion. When Joseph finds out about Mary's pregnancy, he knows the child is not his. So what is he going to do? What's he going to do? It says in Matthew's gospel, it says, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to make a public example of Mary, planned to divorce her secretly or quietly. Secretly is because the penalty for adultery, which would be assumed, which everyone would assume, the penalty was death by stoning. And Joseph, of course, didn't want to subject Mary to such a fate. That was the religious law. Now, righteous by definition means someone who upholds the law. But Joseph plans to circumvent the law by divorcing Mary quietly and not subjecting her to the penalty of an adulterer. So the question is, how can Joseph be described as righteous if he's trying to violate the law requiring the death penalty? And in fact, Matthew says righteousness is the reason that Joseph violates the law. It says because he was a righteous man, he violated the law, which is in itself a contradiction. But it's because Joseph had mercy and Joseph had discretion. And in fact, one could argue that discretion is a form of mercy. And we all know that mercy is greater than the law. Mercy is above the law. It's greater than the law. In fact, mercy is the true heart of the law. God himself told the Jews, I desire mercy, not your sacrifices. Some of you might remember the story of Noah. And I don't mean Noah in the ark. I mean what happened after Noah got off the ark. It says that Noah became a farmer and he planted a vineyard and he grew some grapes. And when the grapes were ready, he made some wine. And of course, the first thing he does is drink way too much. And it says in Genesis that Noah somehow ends up naked, passes out in his tent, and his son Ham goes in and sees him. And he comes out of the tent and says to everybody, hey, you guys, you got to see the old man passed out naked in the tent. He starts making a mockery of Noah. But his brothers Shem and Japheth, they put a cloak on over their shoulders and walk in backwards and drop the cloak on Noah until he can sober up and wake up. And then when Noah finds out what happens, it says in Genesis that Shem and Japheth are blessed for showing discretion, whereas Ham, it says, is cursed for making a mockery of Noah. Because discretion is a form of mercy, the two sons are blessed, and likewise Joseph is righteous because he puts mercy before law. Mercy is always greater than law. The second aspect of Joseph after discretion and mercy, the second aspect of Joseph I'd like us to consider is his commitment. His commitment. His commitment to Mary, his commitment to the child Jesus. While Joseph is contemplating, you know, what am I going to do with this woman I'm engaged to who is now pregnant, an angel comes to him and tells him, Joseph, do not be afraid. The child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, Joseph makes a decision. He makes a decision. He takes Mary to be his wife, and he adopts this unborn child, Jesus, to be his son. But when Joseph makes this decision, for him, it's a done deal. That's it. I have decided, and I will not relent. It is a commitment. There's nothing wishy-washy about it. Joseph doesn't think, well, we'll see how it goes. Joseph doesn't think, you know, maybe if things work out all right. Joseph commits. I will take Mary as my wife, and I will take this child as my own. And this commitment ends up being way more than any husband could have ever bargained for. You know, taking on a pregnant fiancé in a very traditional society that will not understand the miraculous. And then there's the trip down to Bethlehem for the census when she's 9 months pregnant. Then you find out the king is after your son, so you flee all the way to Egypt, which is no easy journey. Then you go back to Judea, only to find the king's son is now in charge, and rumor has it he's more cruel than his father. So finally you go to Nazareth to settle. In all that time, Joseph never thought, you know, is this really worth it? Joseph never thought, maybe I should just cut my losses and go. Joseph made a commitment, and he kept it. The third aspect of Joseph I'd like us to consider is his faithfulness to God, his unfailing openness to the promptings of what is good and holy and true. Any one of those early journeys could have ended in disaster at any point. It took a heart open to the promptings of God to know what to do at each and every decision. Now, have you ever had a crazy dream that made no sense? Maybe a better question would be, have you ever not had a crazy dream that made no sense? Most dreams are crazy and on the surface make absolutely no sense. It's amazing how many times in the first two chapters of Matthew, Joseph is warned or instructed, it says, in a dream. In our little passage today, 3 times Joseph is warned or instructed in a dream. Over and over, warned in a dream to do this or that. Now, if dreams can be crazy, and they usually are, usually we'd be crazy to listen to them, at least at face value. So how is Joseph different? How is Joseph different? It's because Joseph was a soul who was open to the promptings of God, awake or asleep. Joseph had a faith deep enough to sift the truth out of those dreams and know what was real. And like his namesake from the Old Testament, Joseph knew how to interpret the truth from his dreams because his heart was anchored to his faith in God. And that faith let him discern those golden nuggets of truth from his dreams. And Joseph has 6 kids and then now 7. He has a new wife. He has a crazy king after him. He's always forced to pick up and move from one place to the next. But instead of the chaos getting the best of him, Joseph knew he needed God all the more. He needed God all the more. And that's why he opened his heart to this truth and these promptings, whether he was awake or asleep. He always was searching for the wisdom of God to know what to do. And that can only come from an unfailing, open-hearted faithfulness. So on this day, when the church honors Saint Joseph, let us both remember and also be inspired by this amazing man, and especially those 3 aspects that we focused on this morning. Joseph's discretion, which is a form of mercy, his keeping of commitments, and his enduring and open faithfulness to God. Amen. Christ is born. Lord.